I'm good at the weather. So I'm going to use the microphone. Do you have permission? One of the tefillos that we say on Shabbos, which you have in front of you, the tefillah of Abba Rachamim, we say it right after Yom Kippur. This tefillah, to me, is one that's very heartrending. My father, Shalom, would say this tefillah almost with bechi, in tears. If you examine the tefillah briefly, I'm not going to analyze it, that's for another occasion, you'll notice, we'll just read the several halakim of this tefillah. It's really divided into several segments, and it requires analysis. But this tefillah Abba Rachamim, which is recited in Ashkenazic synagogues, the makor for this tefillah, it was composed in the memory of many Jewish communities in the Middle Ages that were annihilated through massacres, or for those who, through self-immolation, they chose to escape baptism soon after the First Crusades in 1096. And we're talking about 1096, 1146. The prayer, the tefillah, is divided really into four segments, but I'll just mention two of the segments, which are fairly obvious. The beginning, Abba Rachamim Shofim Meromim, we ask Hashem, who is all compassionate, all merciful, to remember Birachamim, Hachasidim, Vayishorim, Vatminim, Jews who were most Nefesh. Kilos HaKodesh, Emasu Nafshah, Makudush HaSashem, they died. They were Mekadeshim Shamayim as Jews. This is language taken from the Hesped on Yonatan, son of Shaul HaMelech, who were most of the Nifrodu. Minasharim Kamu Mayaroyos Gadehu. They carried out the Ratzon of Hashem Yisbarach. And we ask Hashem, Yisgarein Elokein Latova, Hashem should remember them, Mishar Tzadiki Olam. And then the second half, essentially, is not just that Hashem should remember them, v'yimkom nikmazdam avada mashal. Hashem should essentially meet out the kama. He should avenge their deaths. The kama, as you know, is a midah, one of the midahs of Hashem is barach. And even though the Gemara said in Seita, v'alach te bidrocha, v'achidala, we're obligated to simulate the midos of Hashem Yisbarach, but this is one midah that one has to be extremely cautious and circumspect. We're not really in a position to meet out the Nekama to anyone. The Torah says, Lo Siko. Do not meet out the Nekama. Why not? If this is one of the midos of Hashem Yisbarach, Mahu Avato, Imitati Odei, Mahu Mavakir Cholim, Avato, Tavakir Cholim, Mahu Menachem Aveilim, Avato, Tanachem Aveilim, or as the Lord Zatzal used to say, Mahu Mechadesh, Avato, Tachadesh, Ibn Shalom is a Mechadesh, we also should be Mechadesh, Kedushay Torah, and the like. He was Mechadesh Shalomos, he should also be Mechadesh Shalomos. Creativity, which is a very significant theme in the writings of the Rav Zichron Livracha. But why can we not say, Mahu no came avato? Just as Hashem is a no came, is someone who meets our vengeance, we should also meet our vengeance. And of course the answer is that I heard from Hagoyim Dakam Leskis Datsal in 1983, in a conversation I had with him for approximately an hour and a half in Muncie. Among the items that I discussed with him was this question. And he answered on the spot, if you want to engage in the combo, you have to have 1,000% Abbas Yisrael. You can only engage in the Kama if you are of the Madrega of Pinchas ben Alaza ben Aaron HaKohen. Heishim is Chamosim Al-Bene Yisrael, the Kamos Kinosi Yisrael, Lochidisi Kinosi Yisrael, Kinosi. Who can say that he has 1,000% Abbas Yisrael? And that's why, what do? We ask Hashem to beat out the Kamos. And that's what the next series of Pesukim indicate over here. We quote the end of Sefer Dvarim, Haninu Goyim Mamo Kidnam Avada Niko, Binokav Yoshev Atzorah Bakipur Abbasalama. And then we have a series of Pesukim that confirm this idea that Hashem should go ahead and take the Kamos. Why? Because if he doesn't, what do the Rebbeim say? What did the Ksuvim say? Let's read the Ksuvim. Line number 5 on the second side of the page. Of Chis Yaakovish Nehmar. Lo yom ragoyim ayel oheye. If the Kaveh is not going to be taken, what will that lead to? What does this pasuk tell us? Why should the non-Jewish world say, ayel oheye? Where is their God? Yivada ragoyim le'enenu. So what should Hashem do? Hashem should meet out the Kamah. Why should he meet out the Kamah? Because if he does not do so, what will the result be? What is being said over here? And of course the answer is the result will be a killed Hashem. Most of us have learned the Sugi Tzadhedrin and the Parandala. And that's what is being stated here. Yivada bagoyim le'inenu. Let the goyim know clearly that Hashem is meeting out in the Kama of vengeance. And then it will be a Kiddush Hashem. Of course, as you know, the Gemara says Kiddush Hashem has to be in whose presence? In the presence of Jews. And that's what the Pasuk says. Yivada bagoyim le'inenu nikmasdam avodecha ha'shoruch. And that will be a Kiddush Hashem v'nikdashki b'tov b'nei Yisrael. But only Hashem can meet out that kind of vengeance. This pshat of Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in the name of his uncle, Rizkov Zatzal. Ki dorish lovim leisem zohar lo shochak tzarkas anorim. Yodin bagoyim molik vias. So Hashem is Barach, we're asking him to carry out this to come. The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, it's a famous Sugya. When Kain killed Hevel, so the Gemara here, Dachan Zayin, it's a Mishnah. Shekein Matzim, the Kain, Shehorag, Yesochim, Shenemar, Kol Dimei Achicha, Tzalki, Milay, Min Ha'adama. What does the Torah say? What was he told? Kol Dimei Achicha. Of course, the word Dimei is Lashon Rabbah. The blood of your brother is crying out from the ground. And the Mishnah says, Eino omer dam achicha, ela dmei achicha. And what does that mean? Damo medam zarosa. Not only did Kayin kill Hevel, what else did he do? He killed out potentially many, many future generations. And the Mishnah goes on to tell us about the value of each individual Jew. Kol ha'abi nefeshachat v'yisrael, kilu ibeit ova moleh. You snuff out the life of one Jew, Rahman al-Islam. You snuffed out an entire world. We call him the Kayim Nebashakas in Yisrael. Ki'ilu Kiyem Olam Olam. I spoke to you a few days ago about a rub, about a major influence in my life. I've spoken about this for many years. Around the Zilus. He was a chavrusa of Rav Chaim Zaytchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he lived in Baranovich with Alachon of Asman, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha. This rabbi, I told you, had an influence on me from the time I was approximately 3 or 4 years old. He was a Holocaust survivor. He lost his wife and 6 children in the Holocaust. He went to Siberia, went to Gehenna, and he, as I mentioned to you, on Yom HaShoah, he would take myself and a few other young men, I say that, we were 7, 8, and 9 years old. He took us to this Reform Temple in Brooklyn. We didn't enter the Reform Temple, the other was Asr. But outside, in the 50s, there was a tekkis that took place that we heard. And he was in tears the entire time. And he couldn't understand why the Orthodox Jewish community, at that point in time, probably was too close to the Holocaust. They didn't connect with the entire Holocaust. Many years later, there were many, Gedolei Yisrael, who composed the keynote. It's true, Yom HaShoah, as I spoke about it at the time a few days ago, has halakhic problematica, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. I also heard this from Agurim of Yaakov Kamenetsky in 1983. The same soul that I heard from Belov, and I also heard from Rabbi Nissen Alper, the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Shapansin Zatzal, and the name of other Gedolei Yisrael, based on the well-known keynote that I said by Ashkenazim, talking about that specific keynote that the Bris Kolob pointed out, many others pointed out before the Bris Kolob, and Rashi and Eichel, and a few other things, that the day that commemorates Jewish tragedy is Tisha B'Av, and therefore there's no need for a separate Yom HaShoah. But this Rav simply was beside himself, and that's what he used to do at Yom HaShoah. And on Tisha B'Av, he also, way before it was popular, it was in the 50s, he would speak about his experiences on Tisha B'Av. He had a massive influence on my life. Yom HaTzmaut, I told you, he said Chatzi Halal without a bracha. He had nothing to do with the chief rabbi at the State of Israel, trust me. No kesher whatsoever. However, he saw the establishment of the State of Israel as being a miraculous act of Hashem. And guess what? On Yom HaZikaron, L'Chalalei Tzahal, which is today, he also would address that. He didn't know Yom HaZikaron, but he knew that a day before, many Jewish soldiers had given up their lives to establish a state. Mosi Nefesh, and he addressed that as well. I was astounded by him. He had such an impact on my life, almost as much, I would say, perhaps, not really, but almost as much as my father, Lachem Nidbach. He also had a beautiful voice, I think I told you that as well. I mentioned the other day that one Yom Tov night, Shia Tzibu went up to David and recited the Baruch of Shabbos. And he was a person who had a very decided limp, could barely walk because of all his yisurim that he encountered and experienced. He quickly hobbled over to the Shiat Tzibur and removed him from the Amid. I was astounded. I was a young man, maybe I was 7 or 8 years old, I remember this incident. So I thought, with my prodigious knowledge of Chazal, the age of 7 and 8, I'm just being cute. But I knew one Chazal. I thought he violated that Chazal. And I, in my silly Billy, silliness, went over to him and told him the Chazal. I don't want to tell you what my father, Shalom, did to me. The fact that I was still in one piece is amazing. My father held up the Gemara Makis and the Pasuk. Somehow the second part of the Pasuk was embedded in the first part. Whatever the case is, this Rav, I then asked him later on, I had to wait a week or two until I recovered, we have to count lessons. I asked him, why did he remove the Shiat Tzibur? He told me, in Yiddish of course, I only spoke Yiddish, he destroyed my entire Yom Tov with the wrong Baruch Hu. I also grew up in that notion. Later on, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, Adin Shulchan Aruch, Tzvei Dinim, everything is Tzvei Dinim. The whole world is Tzvei Dinim. Al Yishane Odom and Adigina. Nusach. I'm very into Nusach. Of course, who establishes it? Clearly I. Or those who are my Balei Masir, as far as Nusach is concerned. Many years ago, I heard Sherwood Gaffin, Shalita, Hashem Yarech Yomba. He's the, I don't know if he still is, in Lincoln Square. Those of you familiar with Lincoln Square, he has a beautiful voice, according to my humble opinion. He's very didactic, a purist when it comes to Nusach. Today, of course, Nusach is almost non-existent. That's because no one knows it. That's why it's non-existent. But there's a Masoret to Nusach as well. Tzvei Dinim, I heard Rav Soloveitchik say. is a nusach of Shmia, besides the nusach, besides the Masor and Talmotel, a Masor of Shmia, of the Gunin, of nusach. I imagine Sfardim also had such a Masor, a wealthy one, a rather rich one. Okay, so this is the backdrop for is Yom HaZikaron, V'chal Netzal, people who are Moisir Nefesh, to establish the state of Israel, people who are clearly in a very hard madrega. I myself heard the following comment, which is well known today, from Hagoyim HaShol Zal, or Abbas Zal, in 1971. I actually have notes on what I heard from him. I used to go every week to see him for a year and a half. Every single week I was there. But after the first time, when I was with him for an hour and 15 minutes, and I asked him for Ragolach and tea, a few other things. So I asked him, can I come back? He said, anytime you want. So every week I came back. Among the items I discussed with him was exactly this issue of Yom HaZikaron. And he told me, and this was confirmed by many Talmidim of his, by his son-in-law, Hagoyim Hazal Machin de Goldberg, Shlita, Shashem Yaruch Yomov, by Hagoyim Ravavid de Nevetzel Shlita, Shashem Yaruch Yomov. They both told me, and I heard from others as well, I shared this with the author of Yolei Elohimo. There's supposed to be another volume, they never published it. Rabbi Reichman, what can I do? I could have gotten my name in the safe, whatever that's worth. But he told me, Shaul Zalman Oyebach, that there's no need to go to Kvarim all over the north of Eretz Yisrael. Nothing wrong with it. Mishlatech al Kever is an Indian God. We find it in Rashi, Shlach, Agamon Tzveto, Chazal, Poskim. You ever saw the Sefer Ratzinsky? He wrote a whole chapter on this topic. Fascinating chapter. All the issues that are involved here. He told me there's no need. So I said, well, where should one go? Said Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, right here to Har Herzl. Would you soldiers give up their lives? Dam kol tmei achicha tzorki melei min adama. Their blood is crying out. Nisan Alper Zatzal, the Talmud Bubuk of Ramesha Feinstein Zatzal, used to bring us to Ramesha all the time. We didn't really know who Ramesha Feinstein was, trust me, we didn't have a clue. Even now, maybe I have a bit more of a clue. Maybe. I'll say that Shmokam will stop it. But I saw the following with my own eyes, among the many visitations we made to Hagoyim Ramesha Feinstein Zatzal. We were once there, and a gentleman with a tattoo on his arm appeared in the scene. And all of a sudden, Ramesha stood up and Meloy Omdo. Ramesha got up with the person with the tattoo. Of course, I, in my usual silly abilities, that's an expression that I coined, a young man who's just full of silliness. So I asked my Rebbe Nissan Alper, I didn't have the audacity to ask the Gadol HaDor, but he was right there, Nissan Alper. I said, where does it say, Mibnei Tattoo Toku, Vahadarta Mibnei Tattoo? I'm familiar with the puzzle. We just read it. They said we're talking about Dr. Mibnei Zogi. I had a mice when I was in St. Louis, Missouri. First week I'm there, I'm invited to a chassan. The rabbi here happened to be Adam Godel. Some of you are familiar with him, maybe. He's actually a rabbi in Baycrest, Waitswater. I don't even know where that is, so if I rock away, I'm good, we'll tell you where that is. Rav Shlomo Rivkin, the Yotzai of the Rabbah. His father was the master of Torah Das. It's not as long here, he knows these people as Maren Rabbeinu, or Rav Noam Goldschlitter. So, Rav Shlomo Rivkin walked down the aisle, I immediately stood up for him. He's the rabbi here, besides being a Gabba rabbi, up in Goldberg. Very few people stood up for him. And then a letter was read under the chuppah from one of the rabbis of a well-known dynasty. And he told the people, stand up for the letter. The whole crowd stood up. I quickly went over to the gentleman and said, What does it say in the pasuk? In the Igeret Tokum, Vadarta Pnei Igeret. That was the end of my relationship with that gentleman through my entire tenure in St. Louis. I think for Shalom Rifkin, another Gadol, a great Tam Chochem, that's a pasuk. They say the Tokum, Vadarta Pnei Zokim. So Rav Moshe Panzin stood up with the gentleman with the tattoo. So I asked my Rebbe, I need some help, but not Makor. What's the source? So he told me, because he was Mekan Shem Shalayim, a Jew who went to the Holocaust, a Jew who went to Gehenna, to Yisurim, and now is Mekan Shem Shalayim, such a Jew he stands up for. That's what my Rebbe told me. One summer, of the many summers that I went to hear shiurim from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in Boston, in Onset, I went for many years. There also, I don't think I had a proper recognition. I was too young to recognize the greatness of Rav Soloveitchik. But even when I lived in Providence, Rhode Island, Shilas and Halacha that I had, I used to visit the Rav. I used to show him Maros, all kinds of things. This is in the 70s. On one occasion, this Rav Shechter, Shlita, Hagoyim Rabzi Shechter, Avershel Shechter, Shashem Yarek Yomov, in his Sefer, he cites this, which I heard myself from Rav Soloveitchik. There was once a Knesia Gdola of the Aguda here in Yerushalayim, in a hotel. And on top of that hotel, there were many, many flags. But apparently, there's a history to that story. Initially, there was only one flag, the flag of the State of Israel. We're in the State of Israel. A hotel was obviously going to unfurl on his banner the flag of the State of Israel. There were members of the Aguda who participated. They were not comfortable with the fact that there's a flag of the State of Israel on top of the building. On the other hand, they're not going to ask the hotel to go ahead and take the flag down. That would be also something that would be inappropriate. So they had a compact, and they decided, and they asked, since we come from many different countries, could we hoist flags of all the different countries? And this way we'll be represented. That was their presentation to the hotel. The hotel agreed, and then they hoisted the French flag, the English flag, and obviously the Israeli flag was also hoisted, was already there before, and now we have other flags that joined this procession. There were secular journalists who were present at this event, and right away they became very upset. Why? They weren't upset with all the flags that were hoisted except for one, the Union Jack. Which flag am I referring to? The British flag. England, the British Empire. Why? For a very simple reason, because when there were Jewish refugees from the Holocaust who wanted to escape, and they wanted to come to different countries, especially to Eretz Yisrael, guess who prevented them from doing so? And this is documented and recorded. If you're interested in literature on the matter, I will refer you to it. The English government was extremely draconian in their approach. And therefore, this is what you want to hurl in our eyes, the Union Jack flag. There were many British frigates, I'm talking about ships, that prevented Jews from coming to Eretz Yisrael. Many Jews died as a result of that, never made it to the shores of Eretz Yisrael. And now you're putting up the Union Jack. So they were in angst, stressed out by this. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to give rushes at Mizrahi conventions. I went to many of them. I followed the show, it took me in the 60s. to the Pioneer Country Club, Olav HaShalom. Maybe Rabbi Gordon Schlichter remembers the Pioneer Country Club in the Catskills. I heard most of the so-called feared rushes, or fitted rushes, or zivit rushes, or asat rushes, the Absolvich gave in the Pioneer Country Club. Some of them were published, many of them were not published. And one of the issues he addressed was the flag of the State of Israel. And the Rav, in his inimitable genius, and the truth is only Rav Soloveitchik could say such a kiddush, which many don't agree with. But he had an instinct, the Rav, that no one else had. Brisker instincts. Rabbi Reichman likes those instincts. He has them also in his stomach. It's clear that there were the golem in the Midbar. Where do we read about it? You remember which Pasha? Or which Sefer and Chumash? If you don't recall, it's Kedai to, right after this year, to spend the next 25 years learning Chumash. There's a Pasha to go, a flags, and Pasha Bamidbar, very beginning Bamidbar. So the Rishon point out, even though the Torah says when they travel, Isha Diglo, the Beis Avosam, each Sheva had their flag, their identification. Of course, it was only Hayurah Shah. It was of a temporary nature. It wasn't Lanetzah, it wasn't the Doros. However, the Rav thought that there's a sin in Shulchan Aruch that the flag of the State of Israel has a reference to, even with Banin Ram. The Gemara tells us in the end of my cotton that the Tanoim of the Sakim, that when people are buried, they should be buried in Tahrif Pshuti. They should be buried in simple shrouds. That's how it's called in Allah and Shulchan Aruch and Yerodea as well. You don't go ahead, because a person comes from an aristocratic background, to bury him in Tahrif Karim, in very aristocratic finery. Like a person wanted to be buried in a tuxedo. We don't do that. Even a Nasi should be Israel, the Gemara says. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, and it's written in the name of Rishonim, that if a Jew is found who was killed, we should bury him as he's found, without tachrichim, without shrouds. The Shach explains, because we want Hashem Yisbarach to be nekev nekama. We want Hashem Yisbarach to meet out vengeance for that Jew who was killed. Those min hashamayim, they'll see that this person was buried without tachrichim, without shrouds, and hopefully, Racham Yishalayim and Yimsoya will arouse the compassion of Hashem Yisbarach. Ad Kedei Kach, with the halacha, which is brought by Sefer Chassidim, a big Chiddush. It's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But Post can bring it. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes in Sefer Chassidim, my father, Shalom, used to learn with that Sefer Chassidim. My father liked all these, how shall I call them, quaint svarim. We used to learn Tanya and Hogan in Korea. I didn't learn for the whole Sefer. And Sefer Chassidim was one of my father's popular svarim, together with Avinu Halevi's poetry. And even Gaviro. That's what we used to do. Besides the svarim, and Mishnayos, and Nochah Parzachim along the way. So the Sefer Chassidim brings a very fascinating din. If I have a house, the Jews were living in that house, and people, Jews, were killed on Kiddush Hashem, and there's blood splattered all over the house, and now the Baal Bayit, who is going to live there, wants to, obviously, paint the house, wants to plaster it and paint it. The halacha is, Sefer Chassidim, he should not do so because the dam will be covered. And the pasuk says, "Eretz al tachasi domin." As long as the dam is not mechusa, as long as the dam is not covered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see the dam, and will be no kain. Will be not vengeance. When it's covered, then it doesn't have the same kind of impact. So the Rav extrapolated from these halachas and dinim, and the Rav said the following: in Tzashach, in 1948, after Melchemet HaShikur, after the War of Independence was over, the United Nations in their usual inimitable wisdom, and they have a lot of that. As we pointed out, the Rav contended that the United Nations was established for what reason? To establish the state of Israel. The only reason. And since then, they've accomplished naught, nothing, zilch, zero. When I heard that statement, I heard it in the 60s. And it's amazing. The Rav is a Novi Shem Kamo, a prophet beyond belief. We're 2016. Has the United Nations accomplished anything? They have. Zionism is racism. That's the extent of it. And all the anti-State of Israel resolutions on a weekly basis. So the United Nations, after the Mohammed HaShakur decided that in terms of how we're going to divide property here in the Middle East, in Eretz Israel, that whatever Shatach of Karka has a Jewish flag waving, an Israeli flag, that will belong to us. And whatever Shatach Karka that was controlled by Arabs and the like, and their flag would indicate that, will belong to them. And during that time, you can imagine how much Jewish blood was shed, Jewish soldiers who were Mesir Nefesh for the state. And obviously, I imagine you are more familiar with movies than I am. I'm not so familiar with movies. As Chatoya, Maskei Hayom. I have a lot of meaning to say. Maybe I saw 5 or 6 movies in my life. I think I discussed it already more than once. I don't remember even all of them. I saw The Guns of Navarone. I saw The Ten Commandments, which was a total distortion of The Ten Commandments. What else did I see? Fiddler, something called Fiddler. I did see that as well in the movie form. I actually fell asleep most of the movie. And 1 or 2 others. Abbott and Costello, is that a movie? Or Popeye the Sailor Man, maybe that's a movie. So there were Jews. The reason why I say you're familiar, because you know how it works, that's what people told me in the last number of years, that they would take a flag and the flag would be planted firmly. And that demonstrates what? Bibles. No? Is that what they do? I'm asking. That's what I heard. Yashamati. So here also a similar nature. So because so much Jewish blood was shed, so the Rav contended that he thought, according to his Harkasha, the Degel of the State of Israel has the status of Bidei Haharu, of the garments of a soldier, a Jewish soldier who was killed in battle, which of course we just mentioned, Dam. What do? We just bury the garments as they are, with blood splattered on them. That models Shrichus Dam, that Kalkisur, or Mesir Nefesh. So this Degel, what does it do? Just like the Dam is Ma'or Rachmi Shamayim, the Degel is Ma'or Rachmi Shamayim. Kach Shamati, B'mo Ozni, Nimar Navah. I, of course, in my usual silly abilities, quickly went over to Rav Soloveitchik in Boston. This goes back to many years ago, in the late 60s. I asked him, what's the Makor? Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch about the Degel? In Boston, I could actually ask him questions. I didn't have the, shall we say, the fright, the fear. I wasn't in a catatonic state as I was in New York. And this is what I asked him. And the Rav answered, this is how I feel. So the Rav told me, this is my hargosha. This is my instinct. Tells me that this is emes. Can I argue with the God of God's instinct? With his feelings? I have nothing to say. And then he told me a second later, the Gemara says many times in Shas, lonely claw, swallow. Why do I need a pasuk? It's a swallow. And that's even stronger than a cross, a pasuk, a swallow. And the Rav was a Baal Svar Yeshiva. The Rav knew how to formulate a swallow. I was astounded by that. Hargosha Rasa Olech again. But that's essentially the Hargosha, not necessarily regarding the Degel. I actually wanted to refer you to a Klayakar, another one of my father's favorite Svarim. The Klayakar has a whole piece on the beginning of Bamidbar, on the concept of the Degel. Of course, he sees the Degel as representing a connection to Hashem Yisbarach. He writes that Ikar Cheshkom Shem Yisrael, the main Cheshkom of Kol Yisrael, Laharos Chol Am Kishem Hashem Nikra Aleh, they were associated with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayidei Zeh Yisru Degel HaRomim V'Sfar Nitzachem V'Chol Arba Rucha Sa'ilo. Vayidei Shem Yisruvodim V'Chol Arba Rucha V'Sfar Shina V'Horon V'Yemtza, Yiru Kol Am Kiyel V'Bishem Hashem. And that's, of course, how we undoubtedly would like to see Tzal as an army that is fighting L'Shem Hashem, fighting for Israel. And even though there are many secular soldiers who are not necessarily Shomer Torah and Mitzvos, but the Meisei Nefesh and the Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. One of my favorite Yerushalmis, I don't know too many, but there was a gentleman a number of years ago who wrote a Targum. He translated Yerushalmi to Hebrew, to my neighborhood, about 15 years ago. And he came to me and said, David, and Muhammad Tekhat, Yerushalmi Hazel Bechinam, I'm bearing to Bechinam, Shem Matan Sikhir, said my apostle. And so I said, great. He said, Mitznah. There was a condition. What was the condition? That I have to learn the Yerushalmi. I said, Kol HaKrachim HaElu. He says, Natchil in Masechet Achat. One Masechet you agree to learn, and I'll give you the whole Yerushalmi. I didn't think it was such a bad deal. I couldn't look for the shortest Masechta. I learned Masechet Pei. Yerushalmi Masechet Pei is the following statement. Very famous statement. It was made famous by Rabbi Shachachma, who quoted a number of times in Perash HaMotek. Yerushalmi says, there are two periods in history that are very powerful. One was the period, of course, of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, as you know, was involved in many wars. And Chazal say that many soldiers fell in war. Why? Because of Rechilus and Lashon Hara that existed among them. It also happens to be in Medrash Tanchuma, this Yerushalmi as well. In Chukas, I believe that's where it's found. The Medrash writes, however, the generation of Ahab were right down to the Zohar. You know Ahab? Ahab? Is that what they call him in English? You're probably familiar with Ahab from another secular work, which you probably never read anyway. But anyway, Ahab's generation was right down to the Zohar through and through. And yet, because there were no tailbearers, is that the right word they use in English? Among them, they were Menatzeach in Melchama. An astounding statement. Chazal, as you see, Amalam Itzlus, and a door that was Eid Yavad Azara, idolatrous through and through. Amazing. And therefore, even secular soldiers who are not yet Shomer Torah Mitzvah, Kal Vachomer, we have to do likewise in our generation. And even those who fight for Am Yisrael in Medinat Yisrael, in the state of Israel, are unquestionably Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. As I mentioned the other day, and I'll be messiah with this, I didn't realize what time it is, as usual. Usually Rabbi Schneider gives me a hint. They used to have, actually, in my shul, many clocks. There was like a clock on the left side, on the right side, in front of me. But the truth is, the clocks were too small for me to see them. So it had not much of an impact on me. Then one day, they decided to get a massive clock. You know what I'm referring to? I think they have, what's it called? King Ben, or?
Big Ben,
a clock of that size. There was a young gentleman on Purim who decided to put up such a clock, thinking that it would have an impact on me. Referring to, I speak to the rabbi on my shul all the time, and tell him, should be Makatze. It's a Gemara, you have to be Makatze. But he doesn't always listen to me, what can I do? So they put up this big men clock. So I told the rabbi, why do you think they put that up? Daimach, I give you a very reason. They're trying to give you a rabbis. Not to speak so much. So the rabbi said, I don't understand the Muslim well. I don't fully understand hints. That's what he told me, the rabbi. Anyway, I mentioned a few days ago with this Aleph that Eretz Israel and the state of Israel is no simple matter, as you will doubtless know. There are many complexities here in this country. You probably realize that after being here a year or so. On the other hand, there's nothing comparable to Eretz Israel anywhere in the world. The Avir of Eretz Israel, Achim, the Kedusha of Eretz Israel, the beauty of Eretz Israel, and let's also recognize Chayalei Tzal, who are Mesir Nefesh of Am Yisrael. And the Mesir Nefesh is unquestionably a Kiddush Shem Shamayim of the highest order. Even if they are secular, even if they are not yet Shomer Torah Mitzvos, we have to be Makir Tov. And I mentioned a few days ago, that's what I want to end with, that I used to go to the Shmuzin of Chaim Shul Levitz HaKoyim, of Chaim Shul Levitz HaTzal. I think I mentioned this the other a few days ago. And at one shmooze he gave an Erev Yom Kippur. And if you wish to attest to the truthfulness of the statement, Rav Atlunik will ask my brother Shlita, and he will confirm this. We were there together. And he said, Ich hab gegangen zu Koisel, Erev Yom Kippur. Ich hab getroffen. A Chayal Chiloni. I went to the Koisel. I met a secular Chayal. Ich hab ihm gekusht. I kissed him and I hugged him. The Chayal had geguckt auf mir, als ich bin am Schiedigen. He looked at me like a crazy man, the Chayal. Who is this guy in black? He was obviously a secular Chayal, Chayal Chiloni. I said to the Chayal, said Rav Chaim Shul Levitz, if not for you, Yeshivat Mir lo yechola lezik ma'amad be'eretz Yisrael. The mere yeshiva will not be able to survive be'eretz Yisrael. Of course, the next day, the Briskus put him in Cheder and Chaim Shul Levitz. I got a real kick out of that. Briskus are nice people. They have a Shul Tayr here in this Ramah, a Shul Tayr in that Ramah. If you have a Shul Tayr, it's in Zvotin, in Medoshis, in other places. Rav Chaim Shul Levitz knew Kol HaTayr, cool, backwards and forwards. He could turn it upside down. Basically, like you take a little buba and turn the buba upside down. But they put him in Cheder. Rav Chaim Shul Levitz, Gol HaDor, was Makir Tov to a Chayal Chiloni. Though he saw, that's how they saw the Chayal. I would actually add to this, but I said, I'm going to end. I'm not going to start with the Rambam or the Buchim, but I guess I'll have mercy on you. As Hashem is Barachim, Mabu Barachim, Afanim Barachim, and with Tati Odeh, Allah to the Drachim, let us recognize the unbelievable Kiddush Hashem of Jewish soldiers fighting for Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And let's be Makir Tov, Makar Satov being the Yisrael service of all the Midos that we should acquire.